Open up your Bibles, if you will, this evening. We're going to continue in our study in the doctrines of the Bible, and tonight we're going to be focusing in on the doctrine of man. Previously, we've looked at the doctrines of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity, and tonight we're going to focus in on the doctrine of God. So go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be starting off in verse 7. And as you open up your Bibles, as we've mentioned before, if you guys want to get a better understanding, a deeper understanding of these doctrines, if you haven't already done so, or if you're interested, pick up a book by William Evans called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. That's a fabulous book that'll help supplement it to help expound our understanding of what the scriptures say about the doctrines of the Bible. So with that, here in Genesis chapter 2, we'll pick it up where it reads. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So what we have here is, why was man created is what we should be asking ourselves. Where did man come from? So here today we're gonna look at that, exactly look at how God created man and for what purpose. So here in Genesis it tells us that, as God breathed and formed man from the dust of the earth, he formed us, he created us. But before we pay more attention to that, we need to understand exactly the entire origin of creation. What we're seeing here is the idea of personal attention and effort by God in the creation of man. But what we're going to look at first is, how did God create this world? We go back to Genesis chapter 1, we know that God created the heavens and the earth and all the creatures of beasts and so on and so forth. He created everything. But what does it say in those specific verses that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God so on and so forth. And each day, God spoke all these different creation, the land, earth, the heavens, the stars. He spoke them into creation. He spoke them into existence. Some might, when you first read these verses, you might not think that that's a little impersonal. And you might ask yourselves, well, what do you mean by impersonal? Well, here's where we can dive a little deeper into it. We need to understand why God did so in such manner. God created everything else first, and he spoke it into existence because it was just that. It was creation. But he did so differently when it came to man. He left man for the end, and he created man at the end after he created the heavens and the earth and the beasts and all the creatures of the land and sea and air. In Genesis, if we go back to Genesis chapter 2, it explains to us exactly how God created man. God and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. When we look at this, we see that God formed man of the dust of the ground. He did not speak man into existence. So what is that idea? What is that picture painting to us? God took it upon himself to take the time. He formed us. He formed us. He took the time, the effort to create us into existence. This wasn't for anything else, but this was for a specific purpose. God personally formed us from the dust. There was no speaking. But rather God took the time to form us. An example that comes to mind when I think of this is we all like to eat. We all, love to eat. I mean, I know I'm. It's obvious I love to eat. But there's two ways of eating. You can either order out or stay home and prepare, take the time to cook a meal. It's not, oftentimes you might need to order out, go out and pick up food. But there's nothing like a home-cooked meal. It's, it says a lot that, the spouse, your husband or the wife took the time to prepare that meal for the husband, for the children, for the guests, or whoever may be coming over. Mind you, there's nothing wrong with ordering out, but the time and the effort that it takes to make that meal, to put it together, put all the ingredients together, that says a lot. It creates a personal relationship, so to speak. Another thing that you can think of is when you give a gift to somebody, you can easily go out and buy a gift, purchase a gift, but there's nothing like building something, like something out of woodwork or something out of steel, something that pastor would do. He would build something for as a gift for someone, like a steel gate or something, There's something different about that personal touch when you go out and build it with your hands, with what you've been blessed with. So God created us so that we would have, God created us in this manner personally so that we would have a personal relationship with Him. Again, a personal relationship because He took the time to form us, to create us. He breathed life into us from the dust of the earth. How awesome is that? It shows us of the love and just the purpose that the Lord had for man. He wanted us to serve a purpose, to have a relationship with Him. And it all started with Him by forming us in the way that He did. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, it reads, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in His own image, in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, He created them. So man was created in the image of God. The idea here is that man was created in the godly attributes. You know, when we say godly attributes, we refer to righteousness, knowing righteousness, discernment, all the things that are attributed to our Lord and Savior. You know, we were not created to be exactly like God, but we weren't created to be exactly as God or be like Him, but we were created to be like Him. We were going to have certain attributes, the ones that we would need. From the beginning, God entrusted man to rule over His creation. In order for man to have accomplished this, God gave him the attributes needed to fulfill this command. God didn't just create man and left him alone. When He breathed life into man, He gave him the power over animals and the power over the garden. So when we touch upon this idea that man was created in the likeness of in the image of God, it's a likeness. It's more so a likeness. It's not necessarily an exact being. It's not a physical appearance, because as we all know, God is a spirit and He doesn't have a physical form. So in that likeness, we were given mind, heart, and soul. God created us with a mind and heart so that we could communicate with Him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 tells us, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This scripture tells us that the Lord wants us to use these attributes to not only have a personal relationship with Him, but to serve Him and follow Him as well. And then furthermore, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 and 24, it says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Wow, what a beautiful point. What a beautiful summary we have here, that, you know, Matthew's saying, you know, we were created for a purpose. We were created to serve a purpose and to follow the Lord Jesus. And, you know, when we talk about the mind and the heart, they work hand in hand, and they need to be in unison in order for us to serve the Lord. Charles Spurgeon once said that the greatest distance in the universe is that between the heart and the mind. The heart and the mind. That's very profound, because oftentimes our heart says one thing and our mind wants to do something else. But here it says that we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our mind, and be renewed consistently. The soul is another facet which should be used for the Lord and guarded by us. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Here we're seeing that man has to cleanse ourselves to the love and power of Jesus Christ, so that we can allow Jesus to perfect us, to allow us to be holy and empowered before the presence of the Lord. And then, you know, preparing this study and coming and working on this study, there's another attribute, another point that we should look at. And here we'll see that when God created man, He equipped him with knowledge and speech in order to accomplish the task at hand. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, it reads, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam was not found, but for Adam there was not found a helper to comparable to him. We read later on that the Lord blessed Adam with a helper, with a companion. But what we see here is that there is no evidence of evolution. There is no evidence that man evolved or changed over time. God created man, and thus when God created man, he gave him what he needed to be successful. In order for Adam to have named the animals, to have named all the creatures of the earth, he would have needed to have speech, to have knowledge, discernment, to be able to name and to label and to do all that inventory that the Lord had placed upon him. So here there was no mistake when man was created. There is no mistake. There is no accident that, you know, we came into creation. The Lord created us for a purpose, not only to have a relationship with him, but to serve him. So with the Word of God, there is no existence of evolution. Man never had to evolve. God laid it all out for us. We were equipped from the beginning. There was no need for us to change or evolve. Man was never savage or ape-like like the world wants us to believe, because God created us in his own image. And in this image, the Lord gave us exactly what we needed. Like in this instance, knowledge, speech, free will. He gave us free will from the onset to make a decision on our own. And as we move forward, we'll see how we've seen so far, you know, how man was created. Man was created in the image of God, and then the fall of man. Unfortunately, man, you know, fell far short from the glory of God. Man was not able to correctly adhere to God's instruction. If you guys, you know, would refer back to Genesis chapter 3. If we, you know, we pick up the entire, we don't have enough time to read the chapter, but towards the middle and towards the end of the chapter, we see how man fell short. Man fell short of the expectations of God. Adam and Eve both failed to discern right from wrong. This instance again shows us Adam and Eve had free will, even though they didn't know it as such then. They were given a responsibility. They were given a task. And unfortunately, Eve was deceived. And Adam had the final say, but he chose wrongly. He sided with his spouse instead of siding with the Lord, with God, the creator of him, the one that breathed life into him. What we also see here is that both Adam and Eve were capable of sin, while on the same note, both were capable of not sinning by heeding the instructions of God. So although they had free will, and although they didn't know exactly, you know, right from wrong, they still had that power. They still had that ability to follow what God put in their hearts or not follow it. But unfortunately, we know what happened. And even though man fell short of his calling, God still had abundant grace. Although God removed Adam and Eve from the garden, it was a consequence of their decision. This was never God's intention, but the fall of man left him no choice. As we've always, as we heard before in previous teachings, there's never an instance where God says, "I didn't see that coming. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen." He knew everything that has happened and will happen. But at the same time, he's given us that free will. He's given us that decision to either side with him and follow him and give our life to him, or to shy away and lead a life full of sin. And it was here that we start to see the need for a Savior, one who will redeem us and return us and make things right, return us to the Creator. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We saw that in Genesis 3, how once upon the Lord walking upon Adam and Eve and discovering their ill-fated decision, and once they knew that they were unclothed, God had to kill an animal to cover them, there had to be shedding of blood to cover their sin. But at the same time, he covered them physically. Given man's failure, God still loved us and wanted us to look to him. God's grace was poured out not only on Adam and his family, but to all of mankind. Even after Adam and Eve fell short, What ends up happening in Genesis chapter 4? We see Cain and Abel. One brother killing the other. And it was so powerful that the scriptures tell us that the earth cried out. And even so, God still had grace. God still had mercy. And we all can read later on throughout the scriptures how many times we as men, as creations of God, have fallen short, have shied away, have backslidden. But yet God is always there, faithful and just, to receive us with open arms. That even though through one man sin entered the world, God did not end his relationship with man there. He's given us chances day in and day out. That's what God wants, a relationship with us. Even though man fell, God is pushing for us to what? Make disciples of all worlds, of the entire world, to spread his gospel, to bring people to repentance, to bring people to the powerful knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has been ever present, ever loving, and ever so patient with his creation that he wants us to have eyes for him and only him in order to fully manifest the purpose of his creation. There's never an instance with God where he wants to punish us. Look at how patient he's been with us up to this point. About 2,000 years passed since Jesus' crucifixion. And here we are still in our present day and age. He wants for everyone to come before him in repentance with a repentant heart. He wants for all of us to go back to the original purpose that he had for us, a relationship with him. But that doesn't happen unless we change our hearts. The heart and mind of man is so corrupt and it can be corrupted. A lot of us from the day that we took our first breath, we're not followers of Christ, but yet it took time. It took dedication, not only by the Lord and the Holy Spirit, but by the Lord's faithful sheep to start planting seeds in our hearts, to share the gospel with us, to draw us, to point us up towards the Heavenly Father instead of looking downward to manly assistance. And that is the whole purpose here of man, that we should have a relationship, that our purpose is to serve the Lord and to spread the joy and the great news of his creation, of his existence, of his love and grace and mercy. So tonight we have seen how God created man, thus establishing a personal relationship with man by having that personal touch, by creating us from the dust of the earth, by taking that time, that dedication, saying that this is my creation and I'm creating them in my image. Man being created in the image of God ultimately gave in to his desires and sinned. But there is hope for each and every one of us and the entire world. We still have time. But the times are short. The times are not going to last long. So if our hearts are not right with the Lord, how will we be able to walk before him? How will we be able to avoid that condemnation that the scriptures talk about? Romans tells us that now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is where we need to be, not just us, but everyone that's within hearing of the gospel message. And even though man sinned, God's love did not end there, and his grace has abounded each and every day. So tonight I want to challenge you that as we've seen how man was created, we've seen how man was created, and then we were created in the image of God, not in the image of the creation that came before us, but in the image of God, in the likeness of God, so that we could too be righteous and holy. But that is only attainable through who? His Son and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I encourage you this week, as you go about your week, meditate on these things. Remember that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us go before the Lord in prayer as we close tonight. Father, we thank you immensely this evening, Lord, for your wonderful grace and mercy and your love, Lord Father, for your patience with us, Lord. How you've abounded, how you've shown us, Lord, that, Lord, you desire our hearts in a relationship with you, Lord. And Father God, I pray that we all here are empowered in your Holy Spirit that we would be mindful of you and what you've called us and how you've directed us in your scriptures, Lord. That no one will fall short of your glory, Lord, because we will be empowered by your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father God, empower us this week as we go to school, as we go to work, as you lead us this week, Lord Father. We thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy this evening, Lord, and we just lift up your name on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.